You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Hey, welcome back. We are continuing on. We'll talk to Kirk Bowles in a few minutes about what's happening in Austin. Yes, Texas, a year away from the SEC, the favorite to win the Big 12, according to some of the pundits. AC is in Canada.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Good afternoon.
Absolutely. Mr. Feinbaum, this is what I came into realization. You have so many ladies calling the station, which is awesome. They need to stop calling your radio station. Here's why. Go make me a sandwich, lady.
Stupidity north of the border. Let's check with Randy in Memphis. Hello, Randy.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum, that one cracked me up. Hey, they call me the ringer here in Memphis. My wife from South Africa. I just got a few things real quick.
By the way, were you being prophetic there by saying she's your ex-wife? Or?
Well, no. I messed up on that one.
I wonder.
Yeah, Neely's on 3rd Street said, hey, we're still waiting on you, brother. Waiting on you. And it just want to say one thing.
I said it's going to happen.
I'm sorry. So I just want to say one thing. My buddy Mike Graves in Louisiana, tell him the Razorbacks, and he's listening right now because I just texted. We're going to beat them by 10. Razorbacks win the West. They're not going to win the SEC championship, but we'll be there. We'll be in a good bow this year. And I love your show. My wife loves your show. I got to say that real quick because she's standing right here by me. And she said, tell you hello.
Randy, thank you. Best to her and hope to see you guys soon. Paul is in Oregon. Hello, Paul. Good afternoon.
Thanks, Paul, for taking my call. Good afternoon to you. So when I watch your show, and I watch some of it every day, and then some of your callers kind of drive me away because, frankly, I've got better things to do. And I'm sorry you don't either. But anyway, I was about some of that emotional stuff. My comment would be that we've got about 35, 40 years of too many. The way to put it is the first question out of people's mouth is, how do you feel? And I'd rather have, how do you think? You know, what do you think about this? And maybe half of the anger that's expressed on your show wouldn't be if people thought first instead of felt. I think they listen to a point. Somebody says a word. Maybe somebody suggested after winning a Pulitzer Prize that Paul Bear Bryant had a flaw. Well, as human being to another human being, we got lots of flaws. And that doesn't make us a bad person, and that somebody's got to defend to the death their sainthood. I think I thought maybe you could come up with a penance for some of these feelers that they have to watch something and then report back to you because they can't feel about it, something that they had to think about, like on one of the CNBC programs like Fast Money or The Closing Bell, where they'd have to learn something, actually.
Now you're
probably asking.
You're making me. You're turning me into Jim Cramer.
Well, no, Cramer. I don't watch him. I'd rather watch you than him. I'll be frank.
I met Jim about 2 years ago. He's a fanatical sports fan. I was up at ESPN before COVID. I would go up there every weekend and. He came in and we had a long chat. He was literally spending the entire day watching football with Adam Schefter. I mean, oh. I'm thinking this guy. He goes. It was the Eagles' off week, and he was a very cool guy. But I'm thinking, why? Why was he doing that? Hey, thanks for the call. I appreciate it very, very much. Trey is up next in Tuscaloosa.
Hey, Paul. I must have missed Jim's phone call. I hope we get to hear it again.
Yeah,
later,
no. If you sneezed, you missed Jim's call.
I missed it because I wasn't available. And you know what? You know, AC is a pretty good caller, but he's so hard to understand. He's too close to the phone or something. I can't understand a lot of the things he says. I think the only thing I say is that I understand he says, good afternoon, Mr. Fine Paul. I love you very much.
Yeah, and that's my favorite part of every one of his calls.
But I want to say something about J.K. I'm going to stand up for J.K. today. I love J.K.'s phone call. He loves to call in and talk trash, and he makes the phone calls fun. But you know, Paul, back when he made a comment about Brandon Miller, and then he found out he was wrong, and he was the first to call in and admit he was wrong and apologize for going that way. But somebody used the word the other day, thug, when he was talking about J.K., Paul, and I just think that is just terribly, terribly wrong, because J.K. brings a lot to this show as far as talking trash about Alabama. He makes it a lot of fun, and I just didn't appreciate that word used, I think it was yesterday, about something his chain or something like that. And I just wanted to stand up for him because I like to hear J.K. talk trash about Alabama. So I wanted to call in and stand up for J.K. today, Paul.
Glad to hear. Johnny B. is up next. Hello, Johnny.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. They missed Jim's call, huh?
Yeah, Jim got very very biblical today.
I got a person in my family may be responsible for that. My aunt worked at Aldi's, and she was the cook, and she had this customer come in. He was ill, all the time ill. And she's got this medical condition where she gets these gummies, so she drops some in that fryer one day. Well, here comes Jim. He gets those tasty fries, and he mellows out. You notice a few calls there, he was eating and munchy, and then he and I-Man formed a friendship, and she got fired, and I'm afraid he's not being able to get his chicken fries that's laced up, and that's had an effect on why it was so short with you today.
That's funny.
I actually do have a real point.
Go ahead, Johnny. I'm eager
when
to hear.
Yeah, me too. When you're looking at the players that Alabama and Georgia both, you know, pretty much equal, putting them in the NFL, one won a championship last year and the other didn't even make the playoffs. But if you look at it, you know, it's penalties. Six for 48.1 yards. That's what Georgia averaged. And Alabama was dead last year. 9.43 for 79.9 yards. But I guess my biggest question is, how do you discipline players now that they're making all this money, or they can jump in the portal and just leave? You know, we had to run or do up and downs.
I'll tell you what you do, Johnny. You create a culture where players keep each other in check. And Nick Saban has perfected that until recently. Kirby Smart has done that. And that's all there is. Penalties are just simple mistakes.
Mental errors.
Exactly.
Mental errors.
Exactly.
But I just, you know, it just seems like Alabama doesn't have that same discipline that they had. And I don't know if Kirby took that with him, but it's definitely, you can see, you know.
Well, you know, I don't even know. I mean, the head coach is important, but that also comes down to your position coaches. Those are the guys you work with every day. It's back to just the overall atmosphere of a program. Thank you for the call. Very interesting conversation. Dana is in Tennessee. Hello, Dana.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum.
Hi there.
Hey, one question and two comments. Where is So-So? Is it in Alabama or Mississippi?
So-So?
Yes.
Maybe it's on the border.
Yeah, I think so. That's what I was just thinking about. I was just talking to somebody about it.
Border town.
I was in So-So. But anyway, Hendon Hooker. Hendon Hooker, I think the Lions got a gift. You think I'm wrong?
I don't think you're wrong. I think he should have been in the first round. I liked him better than Levitts. Hey, thanks for the call. We head to the break. Kirk Bowles from Texas. We'll talk about Arch Manning and the University of Texas this year. Final year in the Big 12 when we come back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Time is short for Texas in the Big 12. This is their final season. They've struggled recently, but some believe they could even win it in the maiden, actually not the maiden, the final voyage of Texas and the Big 12. They found themselves a quarterback. What about Arch Manning, though? Who better to find out about what is happening in Austin than Willie Nelson? Excuse me, Kirk Bowles. I get them confused sometimes. One just turned 90. Kirk is a much younger man. Kirk, good afternoon. How are you? Great to have you back on our program.
I'm good and not younger by much, Paul.
I figured you were. I kept looking for you at Willie's 90th. I didn't see you, but I know you were there.
Oh, yeah, I was backstage. I was giving Willie his cues, okay, to make sure everything went off. Great. How are you doing?
Kirk, we're doing great. We're getting closer to next year, but let's talk about this year. The spring is over, heavily publicized quarterback battle between yours and the new guy. Tell us what's been going on in Austin this fall, this spring.
Well, very rosy. All things are looking up. They won the spring, and it was nip and tuck there for a minute, but they did win, come out on top, but you know, I'm not exactly the biggest connoisseur of spring football. I don't know how much you really learn, but I'll say this. Nobody got hurt, and so that was good. And the transfer portal window hasn't shown a mass exodus of impact players, and the quarterback position looks as solid as it's looked in a long time.
So break down for us what is going on there. Certainly no one expected, I don't think anybody expected Arch Manning to win the job right before his high school class has its prom. But what did you learn about him, especially in the competition with Quinn Ewers, who was a couple of years ago the best player in the country?
Yeah, he really was. You know, Malik Murphy, 6'5 kid out of California, redshirted year before, kind of had an injury after the state championship and had another injury in the off season. And, you know, it looked like there's a clear pecking order, I'll put it this way. And as ballyhooed as the Arch Manning signing and arrival was, you know, he looked pretty much, Paul, like we'd expect, kind of like a freshman 3 months out of high school, you know, at a lower classification. So, you know, but he's much ballyhooed, you know, a lot of exposure, obviously, big impact recruit and signee. And when he went on the field for the first time as the number three quarterback, he got a standing ovation. So I think it's the first time I ever remember a third-string quarterback getting a standing ovation. So they're hoping there will be more
in the future. But, you know, he had a rocky performance, in all honesty. Malik Murphy looked like he just won the backup job. But, you know, I think Arch Manning was going to redshirt the whole time. And Malik Murphy's probably next in line. And just a couple of things. You know, Arch Manning was, like I said, running with some third-teamers and, you know, was rolling out a lot, didn't get a whole lot of protection. And Malik Murphy looked like a guy had been here a year and a half and looked very good.
Kirk, let's talk about the team, because Alabama fans have had a discomforting spring, some quarterback issues thanks to Arch not coming to Tuscaloosa, and that game on the second week really looms large, much as it did last year. We didn't think it would even be close. It almost went Texas's way. So overall, what do you make out of the Longhorns?
Well, I'm picking them to win, which is groundbreaking right there. You know, Texas is you know, people have had Texas number since they haven't won the Big 12 since 2009. So this is their one chance to give a parting gift for the other Big 12 if they want to go out on top. And, you know, it's been a long haul. I mean, you look at, I guess it's 27, 28 seasons, Texas won 3 Big 12 football championships. Oklahoma's won 14. So this is their last go-around. And quite frankly, Paul, I don't see another team on paper that looks unbeatable, that looks like a super team. You know, ESPN Football Power Index had them 5th in the nation, which is kind of in keeping with Texas being overrated usually this time of the year between now and September when they start playing the game. So, but on paper, again, Paul, they look like the best team because, you know, TCU lost a ton. You know, all their skilled people, their high-impact people. Oklahoma and Baylor had off years. You know, Kansas State loses Deuce Vaughn, their star defensive end. So, I mean, just with what they have coming back, 10 offensive starters and a lot of people on an improved defense, you know, it kind of reflects, you know, how people are thinking of Texas as the team to beat.
As we make the turn, Kirk, here in a couple of weeks toward Destin, a month from now, Texas will be represented there like OU, and all the conversations about next year will be made. What are you hearing in relation to Texas, and are they going to end up with the schedule that has been reported? Certainly there's been some speculation about some usual suspects, including A&M on their three-game permanent schedule.
Well, I think they'd prefer, I think, you know, in talking to people, they think their rivalry with Vanderbilt would be very strong. Missouri and Mississippi State look like natural rivals as well. So, you know, I think everybody's not resigned. Most people anticipating that Oklahoma and A&M will be their top two rivals. And if they go to 3, you know, it's anybody's guess, but it should be Arkansas. It's one of their oldest rivals from Southwest Conference days, and it should be those 3. Maybe they'll throw Texas a bone and give them Missouri or, you know, one other team in the West, probably not LSU. That wouldn't be throwing them a bone at all. So, I don't know. I think, you know, they're just tickled to be there. And, you know, Texas, they're just, you know, they go to Destin May 30th, and they'll just sit in the back and kind of listen. You know, they don't like to rock the boat any, you know, Paul. So,
I don't want to start talking about that yet because it's too early, but it's never too early. And that that's probably my favorite aspect of Texas coming into the league, Kirk, is just – how Texas and Alabama get along?
Well, probably not at all, if I would guess. So, you know, they're used to getting their way. And they are going to be allowed to bring the Longhorn Network, aren't they?
They will be able to bring it up until July 1st, 2024, I think.
Yeah, I guess we can kiss that one goodbye. So, yeah, and I know they favored the 9 conference games, which I think Nick Saban has always done. And when you're the best team, or at least before Georgia usurped that role, you want everybody to play more games. You get a better chance of winning the league. So, and it just makes sense with all the money they're paying ESPN to play 9 conference games. Don't you think that's pretty much a
foregone? It's as hard for me to believe with that out there. And the fact that it's undetermined, I know the ADs were meeting this week or sometime soon to try to hammer that out before Destin, but with a 12-team playoff coming, why wouldn't you go to 9 conference games? What's the downside?
Well, exactly, and I don't know what the ceiling is for how many one conference can get, but we know SEC will be the gold standard, and they'll set that parameter real quickly. I mean, you know, I know there's 6 automatics and then 6 at-larges. You know, Texas is, I'm sure, hoping that it'll expand the 24-team playoff real soon to enhance their chances. But, it just makes so much sense to play 9 conference games. And, you know, another thing that's interesting, Paul, is that, you know, a lot of people kind of make fun of the SEC for their cupcake week when everybody's playing the Sisters of the Poor. And I'll give Texas credit right now. They've got 4 games next 4 years after this upcoming one against Ohio State and Michigan. So, you know, I don't know if they're going to back down off of that and that's going to be the end of these marquee non-conference games. But I'm hoping we see more heavyweight or big-name schools take risks like that and not just play Division III teams or junior varsities.
Kirk, we had Barry Trammell on a couple weeks ago, and he surprised me with, I don't even know how to characterize what he said other than angst and anxiety from the Sooners coming into the SEC, and most of it revolves around Lincoln Riley leaving, taking some of the best players, the program having a miserable year under Brent Venables, although the expectations are better. I know Texas doesn't waste a lot of time thinking about Oklahoma other than in Dallas when they usually lose the game other than this year. But what are the thoughts in Austin about Oklahoma, especially with some trepidation toward next year?
Well, I think the sentiment by the Texas fan base is make hay while the sun's shining, and Oklahoma having that rare, you know, bad season, and Texas A&M, you know, having a rocky season, Jimbo Fisher's future at A&M. You know, being a little uncertain and shaky there. Not that Steve Sarkisian has proved anything. I mean, he went 8-5 last year. Didn't make a bowl game, so we did have a parade here for that. But he's only 13-12, so I don't think they can really afford to kind of look down their nose at anybody. And I don't know if anybody really expects Oklahoma to be down very long. Obviously, Brent Venables, 1 year as a head coach. He's not Lincoln Riley. He's not Barry Switzer or any of the other Oklahoma coaching greats. And I don't know how long a leash Brent will have. I'm a big fan of his and was maybe the best defensive coordinator in the last 40 years in college football. But, you know, I'll be surprised if they stay down very long. But this is going to be interesting seeing. You wouldn't think – I don't know what Barry said, but wouldn't think he'd be on a hot seat, you know, that quick in year two. But – you know, going into
most of the anxiety comes from the Texas game, as you well know. and it looks like he's got things heading back, but he said the leash was going to be fairly short. And we're not talking next season, but, you know, coming into the SEC, you can't waste a lot of time.
No, you really can't. I mean, every year is going to be kind of a referendum on how good your program is. And that's, again, that's why, you know, it's imperative that Texas show up this year. You know, I mean, they've had 4 or 5 losses every year since 2009. 2009 was their last Big 12 championship. I mean, Baylor's had 3 Big 12 championships since Texas' last one. So, yeah, they know they got to show up. And, you know, Steve Sarkisian's not out of the woods yet. Now, you know, he's recruiting his butt off. I mean, Arch Manning and Anthony Hill, the linebacker, the freshman who could start, you know, this fall. I mean, Charlie Strong and Tom Herman recruited well, too. It's all about the development of the players. I mean, you look at the draft last weekend, Texas, you know, has 1 player taken in the first 2 rounds. And meanwhile, Georgia's whole team moved to Philadelphia overnight. So, you know, that's what they're competing against. And so, you know, if they want to say, hey, we are Texas, they're not back. We're not going to go there. But, you know, if they play more like the Texas program has supposed to traditionally over decades, you know, this is their chance to do it. Otherwise, they're going to limp right in and people are going to take their shots at them and it's going to be more than flesh wounds.
K Can't wait. Kirk Bowles from Austin joining us. Thanks, Kirk. We will see you soon. I feel certain. We're heading to the break. We've got plenty of time for you to give us a ring at 855-242-7285.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And look at this. The commissioner being honored by Utica University. The commissioner, Greg Sankey, will receive an honorary degree this weekend. He'll also give the commencement. Congratulations to Commissioner Sankey. He grew up not far from Utica, New York. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. And Mike is up next in Los Angeles. Hello, Mike.
Hello. How's your dog doing today, Paul?
Hungry as always.
Nice. Two things. Shannon, what a great interview and great insight. That was the first call I heard today, and it's kind of been downhill from there, but Shannon crushed it, and I enjoyed your interview with Kirk. But I kind of think the Alabama-Georgia college football things that we discuss on here, it's kind of like capital punishment, abortion, and euthanasia. No one's going to change anyone's mind. But one thing I wanted to ask you, who would you say the most successful coach over the last 20 years is in the NFL?
Easy. The one who won six Super Bowls, Bill Belichick.
Seven, wasn't it?
Seven, I'm sorry.
Didn't he get a seventh with Tom?
I turned it off when the Falcons were up by 28, so I must have missed that. You're right.
Yeah, 28-3.
Was that Philadelphia?
Kinda,
I don't remember. I believe you're
right. No, it was Atlanta. Atlantic New England. So I was just trying to make it analogous to what we're talking about is we know who the greatest coach in the NFL over the last 20 years ago and who was the most successful quarterback over those 20 years.
Of course. Yeah, I mean, it's self-explanatory.
It's self-explanatory. And when you look at a lot of the great programs, whether you're talking the NFL or in college football, the passing game being what it is, it's all predicated on that. And there's a saying, and I know you've heard it, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. So for Alabama fans to, pull their hair and beat their bosom and to say everyone is irrational, to think that Nick Saban with question marks at quarterback and offensive coordinator may be vulnerable, because let's not look at this season. Let's look over the next 24 months. And back to the point Shannon made, if Tommy Reese isn't right, and if you have a falling out in the quarterback room, you know, Saban's pretty vulnerable going into the playoffs after if he had a shaky year. And, you know, I don't have anything really to add. I'll just hang up and see if you've got
Mike,
any thoughts.
Thank you. I mean, I think there are some great comparisons. They're the exact same age. They're close friends. Saban worked for Belichick. And I think Saban is in better shape today in college football than Belichick. I frankly think Belichick is done. He is riding out the string. His franchise slips a little bit more every year, and many are wondering, you know, whether it was Tom Brady or Belichick. I think Belichick would have won regardless. Would he have had seven Super Bowls without Tom Brady? No. But that's just part of being a great coach, and he took advantage of it. He's got Bill O'Brien now as his offensive coordinator, so I'm certain he won't do well. Saban has a better program, and quite frankly, the NFL is just it's a death match every week. College football, Saban still has some advantages that Belichick does not. But Shannon's point and Mike's point is correct. Tommy Reese has to be the right hire because you lose too much time. And, you know, it's one thing to lose time against Georgia. It's another thing to lose time against LSU under Brian Kelly. I mean, we're talking about a significant upgrade there in coach. And, you know, we don't know Jimbo Fisher's story, how it ends. He could be right back in the thick of things this year and everything else that goes into the SEC. Let's continue. Glenn is up next. Glenn, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Very well, Glenn. Thank you.
Great. Love the show. I just want to comment about the Alabama quarterbacks. With bringing Tommy Reese in and then Buckner, he does have an advantage. I mean, he's had 2 years in Tommy Reese's offense. So
correct.
He's probably got a good chance of winning the job. But I have a lot of concerns about the team this year just because of two coordinators losing 60% of the team. And just the odds are against Alabama this year. But I
completely agree with you. And I think it's a necessary move. I think bringing in Buckner was the best move I've seen in the spring. We knew he didn't have a quarterback, and you can if Buckner wins the job, then it was the perfect call. It didn't cost anything. That quarterback room will get a lot thinner. It's not getting any thicker. Thank you for the call. Thank you very, very much. CJ is in Virginia. You're on the air. Hello, CJ.
Paul, how you doing? I'm excited, man. They need to have a sign above the LSU football admin building saying only beasts, freaks, and superstars need apply, because what Brian Kelly is assembling is unbelievable. I mean, every day I look at the recruiting, and it's just amazing the talent he's bringing in coming up. I'm just so excited about it. And what's really exciting is what he's building. You know, any big organization, a business, you know, you want to have a why, a reason. You know, what's your reason for being? For us, it's easy. It's keeping Louisiana talent, you know, making a Louisiana LSU again, you know, which is kind of ironic, him coming from up north, you know. But anyway, it's just real exciting. You know, the whole thing about, I was going to say legend too, he needs to realize that cardboard copies got of Nick Saban is cardboard. It doesn't talk back to him, all right? I tell you, these Alabama fans are going to need some serious counseling, some psychiatrists coming in there, because, and, you know, you look at players like Aaron Anderson, you know, with all the Ogeron debacle. He left, went to Alabama. He's coming back. He's back at LSU now, and we have a couple other situations like that where he's bringing them back. So anyway, I'm just really excited about the future.
Well, I think you should be. And I think LSU football is in great, great shape. We head to the break. We have had a very busy afternoon with a number of guests. We'll take a break and come back to your phone calls right after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
It's tournament time. Softball tournament begins next Tuesday night right here. And James is up next in Alabama. Hello, James.
Paul, how's everything in Charlotte?
It is doing great. Thank you.
Tell me something. Arch Madden. Isn't he Cooper's son?
That is correct, yeah.
Okay, he's the
Cooper,
oldest
the Manning,
of
the three boys. The unknown Manning.
He's the one that had, I believe, a neck injury when
yeah,
he was
Ole Miss. He was a really good football player at Ole Miss, and he had a neck injury, which ended his career.
That's okay. All right. I'm on the right page there.
You are.
All right. It's been since 2009 that Texas won the Big 12, correct?
That is correct. And that's the year they played Alabama for the title.
That's 14 seasons at my count. If they win this coming year.
I'll buy that.
Okay. Now, tell me something. How many seasons do you expect it to be before they win an SEC championship?
I'm not predicting that anytime soon.
Okay. All right. Tell me something. Have you released your newest book?
No.
Is there a release date or do you have one?
There was one. There is not anymore.
Okay, so you're not sure about that?
No, I'm not doing it. That's why I'm sure about it.
Oh, my bad. I did not realize
well,
that.
There was a big hullabaloo when it came out, and as I got into it, I did not like where it was going in terms of the subject matter, and I decided not to do it.
Okay, and this would have been number. I have put
out a number of books over the years, but most of them are compilations. This would have. I did a serious book about 9 years ago, so it would have been the first one since then.
I see. And the one 9 years ago was.
That was more of a more just about somewhat. It was about the SEC and my first year working at ESPN and more of a reflection back on what made the SEC so great.
Okay, now Paul, tell me something. What you got planned for Saturday?
I'm not certain. I'll probably watch the Derby late in the day.
All right. Now, let me ask you another question. How far are you from Atworth, Georgia, just north of Atlanta?
I would say 3.5 hours.
Woo! Well, you're probably a little closer than I am. One of your callers, and we won't call his name, okay? You with me so far?
So far.
Got a book signing.
Really?
They're in Atworth at what is known as the Crazy Book Lady from 12 to 4.
And you can't tell us who the person is?
Oh, well, you can guess, can't you, Paul?
So far, no.
You're talking to him.
Oh. James, how was I supposed to guess that?
Well, come on, Paul. I mean, what other numbskull would get on here and self-promote on the Paul Feinbaum?
Okay,
SEC
well, James,
network?
Well, this is your moment. Tell us about the book.
Well, Paul, I'm not sure if you recall or not, but and I know you know this. Your father was in the Pacific, correct?
Philippines, yes.
Okay. All right. My dad's MOS was a gyro stabilizer and electric traverse.
Okay.
And he eventually became a tank commander. He was basically part of the human beings that go over with the material that is under Lend-Lease. That was the auspices that he was underneath, the Lend-Lease program, prior to the United States entering World War II.
Okay.
So two of the chapters in this book are about his service, one here at home and one chapter overseas there in North Africa. he was attached to the British 8th Army under Montgomery. But the way the book opens, it opens in 1966 when a piece of heavy equipment jackknifes on his leg and takes it from the hip down, pops the femur out of the pelvic girdle, and, of course, shreds the surrounding skin, rips open his abdomen, etc. It's
Hey, James, we are about to run out of time. What's the name of the book, and how can people get it?
Well, they can get it at this book sign.
Okay.
It's not on Amazon or any of that other stuff. But,
okay.
It's out there at various locations here in Alabama. And it's at the Hidden Lantern in 30A. It's at McBride's Bookstore in Trenton, Georgia.
Okay.
And as of Saturday, it'll be at the Crazy Book Lady.
Well, James, I hope people will turn out. I hope it does well. Thank you for sharing your story with us. And we are heading to a break and then the final hour. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.